What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It is Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Season two. Yay. Welcome back, everybody. I have an amazing special guest that I cannot wait to introduce you to you. But before I do that, I wanted to remind you to please go into our reviews, our stars, give us those ratings. That way, others like yourselves are most likely to see this in their algorithms. You can also download that song, Mi Corazon, written by myself, Andrew Velasquez, produced by Aaron McClendon, wherever you listen to your favorite music. And here we are, your one-stop shop place for all mindfulness, creativity. I am so excited to introduce this beautiful soul, you guys. She's mentored me. She's been a longtime friend. I love her so much. You guys, we have Debbie Bellino. Say hello, Debbie. Welcome,
hello,
welcome.
Hello, my work hubby.
Yes, Deb Sasson Smalls, you guys. So who is Debbie Bellino? Let me give her a little bit of a bio. Deb Bellino is the founder and voice behind Sasson Smalls. As a writer, storyteller, and content creator, based out of Vancouver Island, BC.
BC.
She is also the host of her podcast, Sasson Small Talk, speaking on topics about parenthood, womanhood, entrepreneurship, mental health, overwhelm, and burnout as it relates to finding one's way back into their creative selves and essentially getting one's sass back. I love that. Coming from a creatively colorful history of vocal performance on stage and in studio, working in network television programming in Hollywood for primetime, daytime, and live programming, The Price is Right, the Grammys, Super Bowl, you may catch one of her seasonal appearances as a singer on The Young and the Restless, or hear her vocal track on a Hallmark holiday rom-com, or on one of the primetime TV teasers for CSI, NCIS, The Amazing Race, and Big Brother, dabbling in the world voiceover promotions, and later entering kids' fashions based out of New York City as a stylist and promotional writer for children's luxury brands, inspired by the birth of her first daughter. Eventually, she made the ultimate shift from big city girl to a full-time mama mode and moved back home to Canada, as I call it, to be closer to her family, Canada. She utilizes her corner of the web through video storytelling, writing, and podcasting to share her own personal journey of navigating life as a caregiver to aging parents and a homeschool mom of two in a neurodivergent family. Through her lens, she gives her listeners and readers a peek into reality of her life, where she hopes to inspire other overwhelmed parents and caregivers underwhelmed by a lack of artistic stimulation, creativity. Through her own personal experience of burnout, loss, and grief after 5 years of late heartbreaking pregnancy losses and the many relatable struggles that go hand in hand with making the shift from a vibrant career to a family life and caregiving, she shares her story and spiritual journey to others who simply want to find their way back to themselves again. Without the initial intention of doing so, life imitated art. Through the joys and trials of parenthood, she found a way to bring creativity back into her life as a mom by using her voice like she always did. Deb's stories, insights, and creative works have been featured in publications such as BBC News, Yahoo Style, Huffington Post, Yummy Mummy Club, and a variety of campaigns and life forms aimed at improving healthcare systems across Canada. Welcome, welcome, my love, Debbie Bellino.
Hello.
Hi, office wifey.
Hi, doing, office hubby. I'm good. I am so happy to be here. Okay, I just gave you advice a few weeks about you don't need to put, you know, long intros in, and here it is. There it is.
Hey,
like five paragraphs. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm here extra. For it. No, it's it's well earned. It's well deserved. And listen, we have moms that listen. We have all sorts of entrepreneurs that listen. It's not just one cookie cutter artistic box. Like, you know, there's room for everyone. That's why I wanted to create this safe space for inclusivity, diversity, all the things that you represent, really. So how does it feel to hear your accomplishments and everything that you're about, what you represent? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, Andrew. You know, hearing someone like you, who I really admire, read and speak of the stuff I've done in my life, it's a little bit kind of out of body. It's kind of weird for me because I actually don't remember about 90% of those things because it was like another lifetime. I'm just
Yeah.
living in the present right now, and it
Yeah.
kind of motivates me to kind of get back into it, right? And that's kind of the journey I'm on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, well said. Thank you for being here. And I really appreciate all of your support. You have been this ongoing, like, just, safe space of like love. I can always count on you. And I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, mi corazón, thank you for always being my family, my chosen family, to kind of give me the guidance. You were one of the first ones to have me on your podcast to interview me about my book. You're one of the first ones that I kind of approached when I lost my mom. And so, it's just like a lot of like parallel things that I'm very grateful for. And I'm serious, like you're family. So I appreciate that. You, the Balinos, the George, everybody, like you guys are just it. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, really.
Andrew, you're not supposed to be making me cry on your podcast.
No, they're tears of joy. They're tears. I just wanted to express that gratitude for sure.
The same goes
But
for you too, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you.
of course, of course. No, I mean, you really showed me a lot, like, just practicing exercises with the breath, with the voice, and just like how to organize like my po I mean, and it's been so fun. Like, I feel like when we talked, I was like, I'm only gonna do this if it's gonna bring me joy and if I'm gonna have a good time. And honestly, it has been. Like, there hasn't been any stressful moments. Everyone's been so amazing and welcoming. And so yeah, thank you for giving me your guidance.
The best advice that I've ever heard was always listen to your mama. And your mom always said, use your voice, Andrew. And
Period.
your other mama here is saying the same thing. You absolutely are meant to do this. You are
It's
incredible.
so fun. It's
Oh
like
my
not even
gosh.
stressful. It's like,
Second nature, right? You're just killing it.
yeah. No,
Dang.
I like joke around with my husband about it at times. I'm like, should this be harder? Am I like, I'm tripping out that it's not like giving me anxiety. Like typically when I have a project or something that I've put all my passion into, and when I do something, I put 1,000%.
Yes, you do. 2000.
I and this has not been that. It's been so smooth, and like I think the hardest part in the beginning was syncing Apple iTunes podcast through. Like that was it. Everything else has just been like just,
That's the only hard thing for
water.
you? Wasn't even,
Yeah.
oh my gosh. The editing for me is the killer of that. I mean, this is why now I'm turning to you that this is where the teacher becomes a student.
Girl, I
I'm like,
got you.
Andrew,
I will help you.
notes, come
I will
on.
help you. Yeah, no, it's been fun. So I appreciate your guidance. But this is about you. This is your show
Yum.
and the journey of Debbie Bellino. Just to give everybody a little bit of a backstory, we met at MAC Cosmetics. We had cubicles next to each other, which is why she's my office wifey and I'm her office husband.
That's right.
And I just like fell in love with her immediately, just energetically, just I don't know, like maybe because we're both ethnic and brown too, like the Mexican thing with the Filipino thing, like makes a lot of sense to me. Like we relate, like our family households and upbringings are very much alike. So
We're
yeah,
twinsies
it
for sure.
was,
We're twinsies
yeah,
for sure.
that's
Yeah.
like the origins of us. But let's talk about you. Have you always been like outgoing and using your voice? Like, let's go
Extra.
back in time.
Oh,
Yeah, there's nothing
I
wrong with
got
being
you.
extra. Let's go back to baby Debbie. Where did
Oh,
you
good
grow up?
grief.
Where were you born, raised? And tell us a little bit about baby Debbie.
Okay, baby Deb. Oh my gosh. Well,
Baby
anyone who
Deb.
knows me, including you, you know me as being extra, and I've owned it for quite some time now. This is who I am. But when I was a baby Deb, like you would never know that I'd grow up to be extra Deb because I was quiet as a mouse. I was afraid. I was scared of everything and everyone. I was about this tall, and I was always tiny. And I think I learned how to cope with the tininess by having a bigger voice. So ever since I was little, I just had to use my voice to just kind of be heard, and it just kind of stuck. So there you have it. But
Did you have siblings growing up?
I did. So I have a big brother and a gazillion cousins, like you understand
Same.
with our
Yep.
families, right?
Yep.
So it's all about big eating, big families, and so that was what I was growing up around, was a lot of boisterous, amazing cousins that kind of taught me the way. And I was always just kind of like the really sheepish, quiet one. But if we're talking about kind of artistry, I grew up following my mom's footsteps. My mom played the piano and sang, and I was
I did
just
not know that. That's cool.
I was surrounded by that. And I was three when they put me in piano, and yeah, no, didn't turn out well for me though, because I had the worst anxiety about piano, and I realized I hated it. Like, even to this day, if I see a piano, especially at, like, let's say a family party, if I see a piano, I just kind of like get into like frozen mode, because I just don't like the idea of performing with a piano. It's the first time I saw myself play with shaking hands, because I used to perform really young when I was young, and I would go, we would compete, and I had a really, like, I had Liberace essentially as my teacher. He was, no, not the real
Amazing. No, I
Liberace.
know, it's
But
still,
we
I'm
had, he was
like,
exactly like Liberace. He was in, you had to audition. Can you imagine being like a 5-year-old auditioning for a piano teacher? I had to audition. I didn't even know what that word meant. And, but I got in, and I guess he could see that I grew up with musicality. But as far as the perfection of, like, I had to work so hard as a student. Like, if we were going to go into my childhood, I just had to figure out how to do things, kind of behind closed doors. I had to pretend I knew what I was doing. I don't know why. No one told me to be this way, but I just learned how to cope with life like that. And then, you know, like I said, I loved music, but I didn't love piano. But I stuck with it until I was like 17. And
That's a long time from 4 years old to 17. That's 13 years, girl.
it's pretty crazy. And so I just never loved it, but I was okay at it. I guess you compete. I just did what I had to do. So I was kind of like the obedient kid that practices 3 hours a day. I did my thing, and then but I just wasn't happy with it, and I finally quit. And it was such a like weight off my shoulders. But then I think I really disappointed my poor dad, because he had this dream of me being a concert pianist that he would follow around and tour with. And I think I disappointed him by going to school. Like, I think he's like, why?
No, you
No,
still like were
seriously.
learning as a student. Like, of course he's
Yeah.
not, you're not gonna disappoint him, but
Well, he wanted to travel with me, I think. But it just wasn't my thing. I was just like, why do I not love this? And I think it's because of the nerves, right? It was the nerves. And I just felt like I was mechanically a good pianist, but I don't think, like, technically a good pianist, but I don't think artistically it was like in my soul. You know what I mean?
Can you still play?
Oh gosh, see, I just got a stomach ache. My stomach just dropped when you asked me.
I'm
You know,
not asking you to
honestly,
play right now, but
No, I can, I guess. I can't remember anything. It's just never, it's not like driving. People think piano's like driving. It's not. You have to practice. And I kind of
That's
stopped
a
practicing.
language.
It is. It is.
Amazing.
But cut to, I found that I started like getting a little crazy at school. I was like, I'm going to be student council president. And I just had to get out there because I was so small and I had to make up for it. So I would just go for these like positions where I can be seen. So I was always on stage. I was always with a mic. I was super loud. And like, I'm pooping my pants the entire time, but I'm like, I can pretend that I'm not. So I'd be right in front of everyone. I'd have the microphone, and people just kind of embraced the fact that I was extra and tiny, and that's just who I was. And so I just always loved that. I still hadn't discovered my voice though. I just knew that I just had to be loud. So that was essentially my life. And then cut to moving to Toronto. I went to college there. I went to university, and I was supposed to go into nursing and then medicine. I was going to be a child psychologist. There was that plan, because I love kids. But something happened. I'm like, I don't like it. So I quit mid, I just stopped. And then I ended up going into getting my bachelor's of arts, and then just going right into like marketing. And like, shout out to Anthony Calamet. It was my mentor throughout all my college years. Yeah, Anthony. And he was amazing. He was just like, you are, he's still like owning marketing. Like, he just owns marketing here in Canada, in Canada. How do you call it? Canada?
Canada,
Canada.
anyway, because I'm
But anyways,
extra.
I went to the East Coast, and there he was, and I just fell in love with the idea of like sales. And we started doing commercials, right? And then I was like, I love the whole process of production.
Oh,
I
there's an
love,
art to marketing, 100%.
right? And like, having to be part of that, like, I didn't love the psychology of it, like trying to influence people, but I loved the idea of like, people getting done up to like sell a product and then going behind the camera and in front of the camera. I just love the whole process. And I didn't know which part of the camera I needed to be like behind or in front of, but I just needed to be part of that. So, you know, I really was intrigued by broadcasting. So I took my then boyfriend and I grabbed him by the ears and I said, come with me to LA, you know, and it was kind of like, and I grew up in a really, really Catholic family. So like to have a boyfriend that young and like, you know, and flying over to LA, I mean, I don't think that was ideal, but I think we needed each other.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then we just went to LA and it was just kind of the rest is history. And that's where I found my voice. I went into, I don't know, you just kind of asked me about my childhood. So maybe I'll just
No, it's great. Keep it going. No, you're on a roll. I love it. Why okay, LA so though?
Why LA? Okay, so good question. I was supposed to go to New York, actually, because there wasn't an opportunity in sales. And then I'm going to drink coffee because my mouth is dry because that's what happens when I keep talking.
Drink.
Okay.
I'll drink tea.
Oh, you're so good. You don't drink coffee, hey?
Nope.
Oh, and you have a Mickey Mouse cup.
Mint tea.
Oh, with and Mickey. Mint tea with Mickey. I love Mickey.
Mickey mint.
Mm. One of these days, I'm going to be in Florida. That's my plan.
Oh, come visit. We'll host you guys.
Oh my gosh.
All the babies. All the Bellinos.
All the babies. Okay. So what I ended up doing was I was supposed to go to New York and I got a little frightened by the idea of the Big Apple. And I was like, let's just try LA. I mean, we have nothing to lose. We didn't even actually have a job. We were just like, let's just go. Let's just see. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the first things that I did was go to CBS and there was a show, Craig Kilborn. And I went there. It was like one of those live late night shows. Okay. And we went there and there was this guy just kind of hype man. And he's like, come on. He was telling everyone to like clap their hands. And like, this is where you know, it's a little bit curated, right? Like that's where you clap. This is where you laugh. And you know, but I didn't care about that. I didn't even care about being in studio. I just wanted to be him. I was like,
the party starter.
I want to be the party starter. Oh my God, that's a good one. I've never been to. Cool. I've never referred to him as that, but he really was the party starter, and I think that's what was so appealing for me. So
The fact that you were just like, I'm just gonna go to CBS and just try. Like, can we acknowledge that? Like, you just went and had the courage to take that risk. Like, that's so cool.
Well, that's exactly it. I went there just actually for the show, but the next morning, I handed in my resume to CBS,
and I'm talking like, about.
I don't know anything. I have zero experience. My internship was in advertising, not television, but let's just do it. And they gave me a chance. I couldn't believe it. And I met some of the most amazing kind of big brothers and sisters there. You know, that was another place where I just kind of got adopted because George and I were, my husband George and I, we didn't know anybody. We didn't have family. We just started from ground up. We lived in this tiny little place in Pasadena for a little bit. And then
you did? What part of Pasadena?
I can't even remember. Oh, no, wait, I take that back. I think we were just living temporarily for like a week there, like until we found a place to rent. And I can't remember where it was, but I do remember like looking incessantly outside my window to see if my car was stolen because like I was totally nervous about it.
That sounds like North Pasadena.
Oh, there you go. It's just like probably North Pass. And then we found our way to kind of, I want to say, wherever the Grove is. What's that area? I can't remember.
And we it's found not a Hollywood, place there. Beverly Hills, but it's like,
adjacent.
Mid-city,
Yeah, they call it like Bev Hills adjacent because it's not exactly Bev Hills. So that's where we lived. And we lived really humbly and it just kind of kept us grounded, right? Like we're just like, we're new, we're starting up. So I was thirsty. I was like, you know, give me all the experiences, throw it at me. And, you know, I got the best experiences at CBS. And do I just keep going about this? Because, okay.
You're doing great.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so we're at CBS and George continued school. And so we had to carry him through.
Wait, George was the boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. No, he was the boyfriend. Yes.
He was the boyfriend. You didn't say George. That's why. Sorry. Go ahead.
I left my boyfriend, my then boyfriend, to go with this beautiful man named George. No, I actually, we grew up together. We're college sweethearts in a way. We didn't go to college together. He went to another one, but he's also an artist. Oh, well, yeah. We grew up together. We were babies together and went to CBS. I worked there for a little bit. And the good thing about CBS is that it wasn't just broadcast for me. It was like, I really got a good taste of like it was live programming. I got a taste of all my favorite shows, like daytime programming, and I, you know, The Price is Right. I wasn't exactly the hype man for these jobs, but I was more in post-production and network, but I really got to be part of that like scene, right? And we all know that red carpet isn't really red carpet behind the scenes. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you know, hands-on stuff, but I still loved it. I just loved the energy of it. And then so, I don't know how this happened, but I went to church there and we were kind of like on the spiritual journey to find ourselves and find our spiritual way. And in Hollywood, you know, the churches, they're different. It's just, it was just like, it's a lot more open and inclusive. And so I was like, all right, let's go in there. And the music was just like pumping, like the, you know, there was gospel and there was like, and I'm like, and then I, there was a girl in the front and she was a cantor and she was kind of a hype man too. And she's like, come on, let's sing. And I'm like, I want to be her. Right. I just keep looking at people. I'm like, I want to be that. See my, my hype man now is the party starters. Well, I look at you and I'm like, I want to be him when I grow up. I want to be Andrew. But anyways, I went to this church and it was just an amazing church. And you know, long story short, I ended up joining the choir. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, well, I guess I'm okay with this. Like, okay, this is cool. And we're starting to sing harmonies. And I'm like, gosh, this is amazing. And it's got to be something if you're in a kind of in a group where you do harmonies and you're singing together and you just make yourself cry every time. Wow. And I realized, I was just like really into music. I was like, I think I found singing to be.
And did you always know that you can sing, like as a young child? Like, did you know, like, oh, I got chops, like I got vocals, I can keep a tune?
No. My parents, I want to say LA, I think that's what happened, was because the people started paying me for it. So I was like, I guess that means something. But what, well, I mean, okay, let's be honest here. My parents and then relatives are like, well, you play piano, so you must sing. So, and they never put me in lessons because they're like, we're not going to spend another like $8 billion to put in your voice. You just, you're going to be a piano and you'll just learn voice from that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. And then, so you just like innately get music in your head when you play. And so I could hold a tune, I guess, and I could, I knew what pitch was, but I never really sang. But what I loved was there was, it's a little different now, but there was a trend as far as music to be melodic, not like, you know, the gymnastics, like you know, when you see people singing and stuff, like I get really intimidated by that because I'm not like that. I could belt, but I can't do like all the runs and stuff,
like Christina Aguilera.
I'm no Christina Aguilera. I'm no, you know what I mean? Like, I just, and nor do I try. But back then, music was just all about singing a melody and touching souls. That's just all it was. And so I just kind of honed into that when I cantored. I ended up being hired as a cantor at the church, and I ended up being hype man. And I was a small, I was like the smallest cantor.
Party starter.
And I was just the little guy in the front where, and there was people behind me. And then, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just, you know, I had a lot of imposter syndrome pretty much all my life, right up until, you know, 5 minutes ago. Like,
oh my God.
Imposter syndrome kind of follows me around, which I don't love, but there is something. Yeah, let's talk about this too, because I need you to help me out with that, because like you always help me out with my imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, that's I love you, and that's part of the human experience and the artist experience too. Is we, you know, we're raised, we're taught by society that we're supposed to be a certain way, and you know, oftentimes that can take away from the innocence of what our true selves was as a child prior to us being exposed to, you know, media and so many different things that it affects the way our adulthood becomes shaped. But
exactly,
I often think of little 10-year-old Andrew, and I want to encourage you to think of little 10-year-old Debbie and her innocence and how excited she was to live life and play with color and use her voice. And so think back to that moment of, you know, safetiness. And if you can, if anybody can follow and keep their innocence, like, you know, protected, then that's how you're going to keep that like passion alive and try to have that balance with ego, soul, and the imposter syndrome. Like, it's never going to go away, but at least you'll learn how to navigate it. I call it like the annoying roommates that's just there living for free.
It is. They
Like you
are
just, they're
annoying.
never gonna go away, but you gotta learn how to live with that and cope
You
with
gotta
that
learn
and
how
be
to
like,
like shove them off your shoulder, right?
yeah, and just give it an expiration date and just kind of like move forward. But no, you've always been a risk taker and you've always been so outgoing and just using your voice. Like you can call it, you know, being loud or extra for other reasons, but I'm calling it your true authenticity. Like that's you. That's just Debbie Bellino. Like you're just loud party starter wherever you go. And no wonder it makes sense when you eventually came to Mac and you're assisting one of the most important people of Mac
Oh,
Cosmetics.
I love her.
And I mean, don't let me get started with her because then we love her too as well. But then, you know, and then full circle moment at your first CBS job and to be married there and like celebrate your union with your husband, like on set, like in the back lot. Like that's just incredible. And I was there to witness it. I'm so
Yes, my
happy
auntie
that
was
I was
there.
there.
Oh, you weren't just there.
Yeah.
You did my husband's hair.
I sure did. I was
He
part of
was the
the
man. He was the man. He,
groom
and
party.
I hope you understand, though, that George won't let just anyone touch his hair.
I
I haven't
know.
touched his
He's
hair. I've
got
been
great
married to
hair.
him for how? He's got good hair, but I've been married to him for years. I've known him for, oh my
How
gosh,
long? How
two
long?
decades, 3 decades. Am I having 3 decades? 2 decades. I've known him. I've grown up with him, right? So
Yeah.
I still haven't touched his hair. He won't let me. Only Andrew can.
Not even during COVID? Do you know how
No,
many haircuts I
especially during
fixed
COVID.
during COVID?
Oh gosh, especially during
So where
COVID.
does he get
No.
his hair done now?
Well, there's no Andrew, so there's no haircuts. His hair is like longer than mine. It's crazy.
He's just letting it grow.
He's just
Yeah.
letting it grow.
I'm in
He's like
that
the
phase
Asian
right now
Jesus.
too.
You are
Yeah.
too?
Yeah, I'm just
Oh my
kind of like
gosh.
letting it grow. Yeah.
Oh, I don't see it. Like it's always like perfectly just
Oh, thank
styled and oh
you.
my goodness, so
Thank you.
handsome.
Thank you for sharing that. That was so cool. Like I loved hearing the evolution of Debbie Bellino from baby Kaneda to where you're at now and then back full circle in Canada. And so and then you the podcast and then the Sass and Smalls and the fashion, like where, how did that go about? Like, where did that even come from?
Okay, well, that's a really good question because it does sound really random, but I think the whole point of me telling you all this stuff is that I just always felt the need to be in the arts somehow. Like I would try to push it away because, you know, growing up, you know, first gen North American, like it's not really my parents, you know, no shade on them,
Yeah,
but
no.
most people in kind of that boomer generation are like doctor, lawyer, teacher,
Yeah.
you know, and those are wonderful professions, but I just didn't find that to be my calling. And I tried. I actually did try.
You
And I was
did.
just always pulled back to artistry somehow. And so it did start off with singing. Later I would be singing, okay, so I was cantering and then I started getting hired. I was like your proverbial wedding singer. So I got hired for weddings and then I would get hired
Yes.
for funerals. And I'm looking up, I'm singing a song, and there was like, what's his name? Oh gosh, the Pacinos, Al Pacino's family. Not Al Pacino. Who am I thinking about? The Coppola. Sorry, the Coppolas. Why
Yeah,
am I
you're
saying Al
good.
Pacino?
I knew it was
The
going to get to you.
so the Coppolas, the family was there, and I sang for their one of the father's funerals, and
Wow.
I'm looking around, and so and like every so often I started singing for like celebrities, what seemed to be more funerals, but some weddings, and I'm sitting there going, well, who am I to be asked to do this? But the outlet was the church, right? And so they saw me, I'd sing every week. And so the more I got out there, the more I'd be seen. And so one opportunity led to the other. And then next thing you know, I was also on CBS. I had back then we had MySpace. Remember
I
MySpace?
do remember MySpace,
Okay, so I had a little tiny baby website on there, nothing serious. And someone had seen it. And then one thing led to the other and ended up on Young the Restless. And so I was asked to sing this little kind of snippet and
Wow.
with a scene with Nia Peoples. And Nia Peoples was someone I really, really admired as a kid. And I loved her. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. And then and Young the Restless was one of my favorite,
Oh, iconic.
like it was one of
Yes.
my favorite daytime shows ever. But then I was a little disappointed
Still
because
on
we're the
air.
it's still on air, yeah. But
Yeah.
this is the problem. When I saw the set and how it looks, it was like this teeny tiny little hospital. Genoa City is like this small,
Your
and you're,
fantasy was
my
ruined.
fantasy just squashed. It was just squashed.
Yeah.
But no shade because I do love I do love it still. I do love Young the Restless. I just haven't watched lately because, you know, life. But it was really an honor to be asked. I really wish my grandma was alive because she was a huge fan, and I would have loved for her to see me on there. And I didn't mean to be. I didn't even audition. I was just kind of asked to go in for the role. I thought I was actually auditioning, but they just asked me to sing. So I sang,
Incredible.
and then it was in one take. They wouldn't let me do another take, and I was just like, oh man, that was a really bad take. But then they took it, and so we one th so then I was asked to go to another season and another season, and then I got to know the musicians behind, you know, the writer behind the songs, the writer behind the music kind of like sector. And I did other projects for them, which led to like Hallmark shows and then other stuff. And then even while I was at CBS, I did promotions at CBS as well. And there was a few times where somebody wouldn't show up to do a billboard, a voiceover. You know, the ones that are like next week on CSI. Like that person, let's say they didn't show up or something happened. So then I had to fill in, or I had to do a little mock one. And they're like, you kind of have a good voice. You should really look into that. I was like, no, come on. So I did it. And it's funny, Andrew, I've always hated my voice. I always found my voice to be very strident and loud and kind of
No, it's so
nasally.
soothing. It's good, especially when you speak it and you do that like lower tone.
Oh, the lower tone. Yeah, I had to learn to do that because I'm always, and then I had to do baby voices. And so I ended up being asked to do voiceover for stuff, and the opportunities were just endless. And I ended up bringing singing back into it because they're like, we want to do a little thing. You know, there would be like this explosion scene on NCIS, and they needed this like ethereal, kind of crazy, haunting voice. Do I look haunting? Come on, please, right? But he would challenge me. The producer, Mike, he would challenge me, and he's like, let's just do this. You can do it. And I'm like, oh God. And then so he just told me what to do, and then I followed, and it turned out to be okay, right? It turned out to be pretty fun. And then so I got hired for more things, and so it became my job. I was like, what? How is this
Amazing.
my job? Yeah.
The
And
fact
then
that you took like MySpace to put your stuff out there, use that to share your work, your portfolio, and they were able to pick and choose that, and you take that risk, and it kept leading to bigger things, and bigger things. But you gotta like do the work. It wasn't
you have
just
to do
like
the work.
overnight.
Well, you have to be willing, you have to say yes. And you know, I think it all started with kind of looking, going into the church and saying, hey, maybe I should join a choir, because I never discovered my voice until I went into a choir. And then, like I said, and then through there, I actually met some people who worked in studio. And in fact, one amazing man who he happened to be, do you remember Michael Damian? Do you remember him?
That name sounds familiar.
He was on Young and the Restless, and he was someone I had. Remember Teen Beat or Tiger Beat? Do you remember that
Yes, the
magazine?
magazine.
Okay,
The
so
hot
all over
boys.
my bedroom, let's go back to when like 10-year-old Deb or 12-year-old Deb. I used to have like these magazine photos all over
Cute.
my of Michael Damian, right? And I just loved him. And like, I don't know what it was. I loved that he was like such a bad boy. You're kind of reminiscent of him. He's like biker jacket, hair slicked back, you know. Yeah, check him out. He's cool. Anyway, so now he's doing Hallmark movies too, and he's amazing, him and his wife. And anyway, his brother was one of my drummers for
The
Cantering,
wedding.
you know, from the weddings and from, no, all of it, weddings, funerals, whatever. And he brought me into a studio, and that's where I started singing in the studio. And I became a studio rat, and I would sing there probably like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I just did it every weekend. I'd be singing. And then Michael Damian comes in, he tells me that's his brother. And I'm like, come on. And we became friends, and then he asked me to sing on his album. And so it just full circle. We'd go to his house. I'm like, I cannot believe you were on my walls, and now I'm here having dinner with you, your beautiful wife, in this house.
Did you tell him that?
I did. I always tell. Yeah, I think so. He was at my wedding. Okay, this is the funny part. He was at my wedding with you beautiful people. And I was very lucky. Like everyone who walked through the red carpet on the like on that in that studio or that, where was I? We were in
Wasn't
the
it the
lot.
friends lot?
Slight.
Was it the friends
It's the no. It's Seinfeld
adjacent?
lot. No, it's the
Oh, that's right.
Seinfeld lot and the CSI lot. So CSI
Got it.
also filmed right before we started putting the tables and the chairs down. CSI was just wrapping up. It's so funny. The reason why we did that, and again, it kind of goes back to my need to be creative, is like I can't just have a pretty wedding in a pretty
No.
venue with pretty
Anything basic?
flowers.
No.
There's nothing basic. Well, I ended up getting, instead of like this gorgeous array of flowers and this arch and all those things that people do, I had, you know, I had a brown cake. Do you remember that? A brown
I
cake with a
do.
green
I
ribbon.
do.
I had like I think it was like a lily, or it was like calla lily that was kind of like purpley brown. I just needed to like integrate these specific colors. George didn't care. He's
Yeah.
like, just, he just attended, right? He's like, whatever.
Back to your
And so
artistry.
I had to just always be creative like that. And I couldn't just let it go. And then we ended up doing everything ourselves because, again, you know, we were just living essentially check to check it, you know, at first, because we just didn't have enough funds to like support living there. You know how it is. It's so expensive
Especially a
there.
wedding to the amount of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys did
So
it. And honestly, to
we did
this day,
it.
it's one of the most memorable weddings I've ever been to in my life.
Oh.
Like, so much fun, such a good time with such beautiful people. I love that. I wanted to ask, since you were on that topic, if you could share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
Okay, well, this is actually this is right up my jam, because I think my biggest thing is struggle. And I'm not telling you as much of the struggle, but following that, you said at my intro, I had a lot of losses. I moved here and I kind of just stopped being creative. So the one thing that I could say is that kind of almost embracing the struggles in life, and you know, and then owning the struggles, and then use it to become to become the artist you're meant to be. So whether it catapults something else, or it, you know, motivates you to continue with a craft that you kind of put down, which is kind of what I did. I put down my podcast. And the thing is, I've learned to use my struggles to storytell. So now I'm using my voice, but not as a singer. My kid didn't even know I sang until about last week. He didn't know I
Shut
ever
up.
sang. No, he had no idea I sang. I had a
And he loves you.
He does love me, I have to say. And I always wonder, I'm like, do you
You're
love
his
me?
goddess.
But we talk about what, because I was really flattered when you said, you know, he reminds me a lot of how I was with my mom. And that made me cry, Andrew, because
Yeah. Girl, he's stuck on you. He's like on that
stuck on
hip. He
me.
don't want to
He's on
go.
me.
That's like how I was. And
That's
everything
so
you're
cute.
doing, he wants to do. Like,
Yes. Oh, yeah. He does my makeup all the time. And he always tells me, you need to blend more. Like, he's
Oh,
so, he's.
not the tutorial, the toddler tutorial.
He gives me the toddler tutorial. Oh, no, he takes the brush and he just does it. But I always
Yeah.
have, like, again,
I
like
love that.
as a mom, the imposter syndrome comes in. I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. Every day I always say this, I'm a terrible mom. And I didn't say, I have a daughter, a 12-year-old, and I have a little 5-year-old son, and it motivated me to come here when she was born. And so I brought her here about a decade ago, and she was just a
Yeah.
little itty baby. And through the struggles, I was able to share my story, and that's kind of how I had other opportunities open for me. And so
Yeah.
I think the one thing I'd love to tell your listeners is embrace the struggles and use it to inspire you to write or to storytell. And then I think also, like, just like you said, like, just shove away the imposter syndrome and anyone who just kind of doubts or makes you second guess. Like, I'm such a people pleaser, and I've always never I've never really fully embraced who I am, until recently. I think until becoming a mom, I never really embraced, like,
Yeah.
I am extra and I am artistic, but I kind of hid it because you shouldn't be, like, it's a hobby, right? Like, artistry is a hobby is what people would say. And I'm like, it's
It's a
in me
lifestyle.
though. It's a
It's a
lifestyle. It's a
lifestyle.
choice, right?
Yeah, a lot of things that you said that I want to touch on is, well, through traumas, which we've all experienced some form of trauma, you can transform. Through trauma, you can triumph. Through trauma and accepting it and purging it and releasing it, you can evolve into the person that you're supposed to be. And that's still part of the ongoing journey. Like, even the person that you feel you're supposed to become will naturally evolve as well. So it's learning how to like pivot and learning how to adapt. Creative people are so good at that. We're in any environment that you go into. You just gotta like believe in yourself, you know? And if you have moments of loss, if you have moments of doubts, that's fine. That's part of the human experience. Acknowledge it, give it an expiration date, but then move forward. Don't let it be that overwhelming thought that is constant, because then that is exactly what you're going to become. But if you're constantly thinking of the opposite, if you're thinking of more positive and the good outcomes, and that is what you're going to become versus this other negative thought, you know, or imposter syndrome.
You know, that's exactly what happened in my situation. I started having multiple losses, right? And so I became the mom that just kept losing babies. I just became that person. And I didn't want to be that person anymore. I didn't want to be the only person. I didn't want to have my platform be just about that. But what I realized is the healing from it was really what my true journey was. The fact that I could get back up. We built our family in a very non-conventional way. And we're so grateful because this amazing woman who's a really dear friend of mine, I call her my sorority sis, she asked if we could, you know, if she asked if she could be our egg donor. So we ended up finding ways around it. And then so our story was shared and shared and shared. And then I realized I kind of stopped sharing it because I was like, I don't want to just talk about my trauma and I don't want to talk about just this. And I
Yeah, I
realized
understand.
what it is just trying to get my groove back as a mom because I kind of lost it. And like I told you my colorful history, yes, but it kind of went down to a gray when I became a mom because I thought that to be a good mom was to put your hair in a bun, a messy bun, look like a hot mess, and live with cold coffee and a robe, and follow our kids around and like wipe their mouths every 2 seconds. Like I thought that's the definition of a good mom, and I realized I've been a better mom lately because I made the choice to
Thank
love
you.
myself too.
Thank
And
you.
they see it now. You know, they're
Yeah.
like, mom looks happy. And in fact, when I have a day where I'm like acting up, my daughter, she's so insightful, she says, mom, I think you need to go to your computer and podcast again or something. Mom, I need you to go call your friends on Marco Polo because my, yeah, like she knows that I need to be fed with like a little bit of
Yeah.
that extra energy. And I don't get it
Yes.
usually when I choose to just focus
I
on
understand.
them. Like, they don't need that, right? They want to see me
No,
happy.
absolutely. And in order for you to be the best mom that you can be is for you to love yourself first and for you to be
Yeah.
selfish first and take it's like when you're on the plane, what do they say before helping others,
Put
taking
your
that
mask
oxygen
on.
on your own. Exactly. So you gotta take care of that, you know. I love that. Do you have any practices or routines that you have placed to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your businesses? And I'm going to include being a mom as a business because that is a business in itself.
As a business,
Oh, there's a
please.
thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Who's that from?
It's the iOS update on,
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
like if you do
Oh, I like that.
this, it does something
Oh,
sometimes,
cool. I didn't
or
know
this.
that. AI scares me. Like, there's a lot of good. Oh, come on. I wanted that. Oh, come on. That is so cool.
Come on.
Oh,
Well, if you're on YouTube, you can see it, but
my God. I
it's,
need to try this out. This is hilarious. So, well, gosh, this goes, but getting my energy back too with my kids too is to just get outside. I think the outside thing is the secret to life.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've recently just kind of
Mother Nature
started.
is real. She is there for us, for all mamas.
Yes, totally. That's why it's called Mama Nature. I have, I think a good walk on the beach is kind of my jam these days. Taking off my shoes, which I never do, I do
Getting
that now.
grounded. Yeah.
Grounded, and I've just started to kind of do more grounding practice. And
Yeah.
I love feet on the ground and like just being, you know, without sounding too woo-woo, I just really love
No, you're
the
good.
idea of n nature connecting to a body part, right? And usually, so I start my day off. This is a very recent practice, but I've noticed such a shift. If you interviewed me 3 weeks
Beautiful.
ago, Andrew, different
Well,
Deb, seriously.
that was also last year, right?
That was last
It's
year.
a long
Last
time
year's
ago.
Deb,
We're in
yeah, last
2024, girl. You're
year.
good.
This
This
is
is we're on to the
2024,
right
Deb.
side.
So I'd be like, I just started just this practice again. I used to do it.
Good.
I'm resurrecting these practices. But one of the things that I would absolutely tell your listeners is start the morning off, you know, put the coffee or tea or whatever aside for now, grab yourself a water, just go out in your patio or open your door and let the sun just like beat on your face. No sunglasses, just let it beat on your face. Like not everyone has the luxury, especially moms. Not everyone has the luxury to go for a walk first thing in the morning. You got kids, right? So I'll feed the kids. I'll just do something simple. I kind of simplified this mommying thing. I used to have epic breakfast. Now I'm like, they're so happy with like, you
Yeah,
know, just
you're
a
like
little.
you're breathing, right? You're alive, you're
You're
good.
breathing, you're good, you're good.
Let's
And
go.
then exactly. And then I'll go in the patio. Okay, get this. So I go in the patio and just like how you said about my son, he's kind of like clinging to me. So I go to the patio, I get the sun beating my face, I grab, I'm starting to do a journal. You inspired me to get into journaling.
Yes. Journaling is a thing, babe.
I used to not do it. I didn't. Now I just prompt it. Like I'll get prompts as opposed to, I can't just kind of come up.
Do it for 30 days at least. And let's see where you're at least.
Do you go with prompting though? Or do you just write whatever?
Well, I have, the first thing that I do is my reflect 30 day reset checkoff list, which it's a lot of the things that you've already said. So I'll check off 10 lists of practicing meditation, gratitude, mother nature, acts, kind acts, cold showers, no caffeine, eat greens, visualize, journal. And then in the journaling, I'll write things that I'm grateful for, at least three things that I'm grateful for gratitude, that I visually see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then within that, I'll also counteract with three things that I visualize that I'm trying to manifest for the future. And I'll break it down, you know, for like 5-year goal to a 1-year goal. And then I'll break that down per quarter as well. I'm a Capricorn. I'm like a weirdo. That. I'm all like, you know, nerd. And that, I say I'm a ongoing student of the University of Mother Nature. And so I'm always going to practice mindfulness in any capacity. But yeah, no, I love that you're practicing that daily now and it's making a difference and you're noticing it. And so are the kids. So
they started coming into the patio too with me.
Yes.
And they'll turn off the TV and I'm like, did they just turn off the TV without me asking?
Thank you.
And then they sat in the seat and one got her little like sketchbook. The other one, he got his little Rubik's Cube because he's trying to figure out the Rubik's Cube. And we just sat in the sun.
We talked about that.
Exactly. And he's talked to you before. He loves Uncle Drew. Who doesn't love Uncle Drew, please?
Aww.
But isn't that crazy? Like now, like all the modeling that's happening, I have to take care of myself first so that these little kiddos can follow suit, right? Instead of me telling them.
Leading by example. Yeah, you're not. And when you have those moments, it's okay. You're human. It's going to be part of the process and just give it that time to reflect and remove yourself from that situation so you can come back with a new pair of eyes. You know what I mean?
100%.
Love that. Okay, so cool. So we have a new segment for season 2, you guys.
The library is open! Yeah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
This is a segment for our guests to share their favorite book. It is called The Library is Open. So Debbie Bellino, can you share with us a book that you're currently reading or your favorite book of the past and the top 3 reasons why?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you are giving a person with ADHD the beauty of a choice. I cannot make choices, Andrew. Okay.
I can guide you through that.
Okay. Okay.
What's the name of the book?
Okay. Well, I have a favorite book and then I have a book I'm reading right now, but they have the same reasons why I love them. Can I just do that?
Go for it.
Okay. 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 All right. So my favorite book of all time that I keep going back to as reference for life is called Creative Calling from Chase Jarvis. And I'll tell you the reasons after I tell you the book I'm currently reading, which is our wonderful friend, the boss that we were talking about, the one we work for at Mac, who I know is, I know you love her too. Iris Navarrete is a new author for From Her to Eternity. And she has it as a memoir. And so I'm reading through the memoir and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to know this woman I already knew before. And much like your book, Andrew, I love your book too, because your book, it really gave me a glimpse of who you are, who the author is. That to me is the most important, to know that there's a humanity behind that author. And so the same with Creative Calling. What I love about these memoirs and these kind of books about creativity and finding yourself in the arts, it motivates me. There's a personal attachment to it. But what I love the most is there's such a value placed on creativity. So that's like reason. So first reason is you get to know the author, you get to know how human they are, they're relatable to you, and you see their love for arts. And second one is that they look at creativity like it's a necessity.
Yeah.
All your guys' books, all you wonderful books that really, they really speak to me are the ones where artistry is a fundamental part of their life.
Period.
And I love hearing that. And I don't hear that often, right? So that.
It's a chosen lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Chosen lifestyle. But I think it's almost just like, it's so necessary. Like I'm finding my kids, like they do as much art as they do math.
Yeah.
They do as much art, probably more, you know, and it's not just drawing art, like illustrative, it's like speaking. It's
all mediums. Yeah.
Just everything, all the stuff. Like, and then the third reason, what else did I love about that book and all your
as you're thinking books? That, I'm going to just rename the titles we have From Her to Eternity, author Iris Navarrete, as well as Creative Calling by Chase Jarvis.
Yes. Best books, because for me, I needed to get some sort of self-development without it being like, and this is the third reason, is like, it's kind of a resource, right? Because like an ongoing resource that I can keep coming back to. And Creative Calling doesn't just say, you know, do this, or you should feel this, or you should be this to be a better person. They literally give you, you know, a guidance step by step, like this, you know, pick up that pencil, you know, get out of your, you know, kind of like how we're talking right now.
Yeah.
It's just strategies. And I kind of need that. I need someone to tell me what to do. Right. Yeah. And like, I can't always just kind of come up with it myself.
It's guidance. Yeah.
Guidance. So those are my three reasons.
Good. I love that. Good job. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to put that in the description for sure. All right. Very cool. So we're moving on. I want to have a lot more time with you. This is an hour show. So we have another part of my... No, I love you so much. I should extend it for like 2 hours.
Sorry.
So we're going to come up... Don't be sorry, baby. You're good. Wrapping up my part is rapid cues. I'm going to ask you three questions wherever you are. Intuitively answer them. Don't think about it too hard. So
okay.
Question number one, Debbie Bellino. Who is your hero and why?
Oh gosh. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna keep it personal. Okay, keep it personal. Okay. It's like a 2-1-1. My mom and my daughter. And the reason why is because I'm not gonna cry. Don't make me cry, Andrew. Don't make me cry. I've got a daughter who made me a mom in the first place. And then I got my mom who modeled motherhood for me. And both of them are the exact opposite of me. So my mom is Estrella and my daughter is Ella. So that's really kind of something. What I love about these two women specifically, or girls, my daughter's still 12, but what I love about them is that they are unapologetically themselves. They are the exact opposite of me. They own their silence. They live in silence in the sense of they're comfortable with silence, and that's something that I have to be comfortable with. They're comfortable being exactly who they are, and they're very different from your typical, like I did talk about neurodivergence, right, in my intro, and both of them are incredibly themselves. They're just not like everyone else, and they own it, and I need to learn from that. So I'm really learning from...
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really learning from them just embracing who they are as quiet observers, wise observers. And I just need to shut up sometimes and just like listen. And that's what they are. They're like amazing listeners. But
The celebration of all generations. Beautifully said. Thank you.
Thanks.
Wrapping up my forward is Rapid Cues. Question number two, Debbie Bellino, what is your favorite music album of all time?
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Oh,
I'm talking like track 1 to 12 or whatever it is. Let it play.
Okay, I grew up with like the divas, right? Like I had Whitney, I have Anita Baker. I got, you know, this is gonna be hard.
I know,
okay,
but this is that one album.
One. Yeah. Okay.
Deserted Island, one Discman, one CD.
Oh, Discman. Okay, I know Discman. Okay, I know exactly who. Have you ever heard of Eva Cassidy? Oh, she's killer.
No.
Oh my gosh. You need to stop what you're doing. She does covers of like Sting did Fields of Gold. And she did a rendition of that and Over the Rainbow. And she passed away at a young age, and she became famous after she had passed away. So she did these cover tunes, and from track to track, literally from like track 1 to the last track, you are weeping. She does this rendition that is so different, so just, and I love being different.
Eva Cassidy. It sounds familiar.
You got to try. Yeah. You'll hear her, you'll go, oh, dang. And then you'll just
recognize it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I love learning about new music. Thank you. Okay, I knew you were going to pick somebody cool too. All right, my babe. Wrapping up my four artists, rapid cues, final question. What is your favorite quote?
Oh, gosh. Quote. Martin Luther. Martin Luther. What was it? If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Whatever you do, just move forward.
Wow. Like, dude, that's a mic drop moment right there.
Mic drop. Because yes. when I heard that, I've been living my life deep. That way, that I'm always crawling. I'm always just like, making it, I can't do this. Yeah. But the one thing I do actually do is move forward. I just do it really slow or in like hot mess status, but move forward. I love that.
Move forward.
Yeah. Period. Just been kind of living that quote, not knowing it, but yeah.
Well said. Bravo, my friend. Suits. Oh my goodness. How do you feel? That was so fun. You're just a natural. Hold up. Oh, where can we follow you? Where can we support you? Do you have any upcoming projects? Anything that you want to share with us? Tell us where we can follow all the things.
Well, like I said, I kind of put things on the back burner, caregiving for my parents and then like homeschooling, and like that's just not my jam, but I'm learning to live with it now, like learning how
to see a comeback soon though. I do.
But the comeback is happening in the midst of it, and I'm like, oh yeah, you just have to make room for it. So I am currently on this journey of getting my SaaS back. So on my platform, which is SaaS and Smalls, which also covers SaaS and Small Talk podcast, but I am going to get the pot. I'm going to like dust off my microphone. You are my first interview since like,
yes.
So I put it down. I haven't touched it for months because I've been focused on life, and now I'm like ready to just like dust it off, get back on track. So
your daughter said
everyone.
It.
Yeah, she did.
She did.
That girl. She's like, yeah, you seem miserable, mom. Go back on your microphone. Go back to your computer. Too. And that's, I think that's what it's going to be. It's just like following me on, I'm just kind of like growing on TikTok. I'm like this small on TikTok, but I want to grow and share my story and help other mamas get their sass back, because I already feel that energy shift from literally weeks ago. And so that's kind of the new thing that I'm doing on my website. So
bravo, baby. There you go. So happy. So is it Sass and Smalls on Instagram and then the podcast? Yeah.
sassandsmalls.com is my website. Sass and Smalls and all my platforms is Sass and Smalls. I even have Sass and Small Talk, but that, you know, and then also I'm just growing on TikTok, so like I don't know if you want to
Sass and Smalls as well there. Yeah, absolutely, all the things. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
you're amazing. This was
amazing.
Beautiful. You guys, this is the Mindful Artist Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Mindful Artist Podcast. And if you are a creative entrepreneur that wants to be on our show and is balancing the life, all the things, email me at mindfulartist@podcast.gmail.com. That song you're about to hear, Mi Corazón, you can download wherever you stream your favorite music, written by myself, Andrew Velasquez, and produced by Aaron McLendon. Don't forget to share this episode with somebody that you love. And give us those stars in the reviews, you guys. Thank you so much, Debbie. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you, Andrew.
Make an impact in somebody's life. Until next time, much love and light. Bye.
Bye.